Welcome to Deeply Disturbing Things,
the podcast.
I'm Naomi.
I'm Macy.
And we're two counselors who like to talk about the disturbing things.
And troubleshoot technology together.
Yeah, we're getting on here a little late tonight, but we figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
With good old stick-to-it-ness.
Yes, it didn't help that I forgot about the podcast because I just traveled home today and I thought I had so much time. Like, I got progress notes done. I got to see a couple of clients and I was going to make dinner.
It was all a lie.
It's like, this feels so good. It's time. And then I get a little reminder on my watch that says podcast. And I was like, yep, I'm going to post those podcasts tonight. And I went, no. Podcast. And then I drove here.
So to get here. This is episode 76. We have 75, 69, and 70 all waiting for Macy to find time to edit them and post them. So there's going to be so many podcasts coming up. It's going to be crazy.
I'll get those other three done tomorrow. This one will be posted Friday.
Don't forget, 69 needs the heavy editing.
I'm aware. I still have sticky notes in my bag.
Okay. To hide my truth from the world who's not ready for it.
Yes.
I brought you a little something. This is golden milk that Paul made.
Oh, I was holding up the wine you gave me.
See what you think. It's amazing.
So can you explain golden milk to the audience if they
weren't familiar with that? Basically makes you live forever and it gives you superpowers.
It smells like Christmas.
It has, well, this particular version has coconut milk, rice milk.
You want me to drink it?
Turmeric, black pepper.
Do I drink it?
Cinnamon. Yeah, you drink it. Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I suppose you could bathe in it as well.
It's good. It's very thick.
Yeah. So what I've been doing is in the morning, like having half that, half chai or half that, half yerba. And it's been quite enjoyable. It makes you, like, not have...
Am I supposed to be drinking so much as a concentrate?
You're not supposed to have... It helps you not have sore joints. It's one of the main things, but there's other benefits.
That's cool.
So say if you ran and afterwards, like, your joints hurt or whatever, or you always had, like, a thing in your shoulder that would keep you up at night, like, that'll all go away.
Magic.
It's magic, though.
Wine does the same thing.
That makes it go away for a different reason. That's because you forget.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So I can't really do much for my check-in because my check-in ties in with my topic. So I'm going to have to wait for that. What check-ins do you have?
So I've been saving this for when I met with you. Have you done the Wu-Tang Clan name generator yet?
Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with. No.
I thought we would find our
true calling.
Our Wu names now.
Okay. Do you remember that in Derby I did a scrimmage? And so my normal Derby name is Womb Punch.
Yes.
And what did I?
You had the guys had something.
What was it? Remember. It was Wu.
Was it the Womb Clan? No.
Oh
no, it was something funnier than that. I can't remember. How can we not?
I don't know. I literally have the jersey. I'll think about it. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to do your first. And I saved doing me because I want to do it with you.
Oh, Wu-Tang.
Was it Wu-Tang?
No, that doesn't sound right either. Like it was funnier.
It was funnier. Okay, I'm going to woo you now. Here we go. Macy, from this day forward, you will also be known as expert intellectual.
Oh, obviously.
Will you take it?
Sure.
All right.
Wait, that doesn't
Let me
sound
see mine too.
Bad at all.
Well, I'm sure it's gonna be
just call me expert super, intellectual, please.
Super, not as smart as yours. Let's see. Okay. Woo me, name generator. Oh my gosh.
Let's see.
Mine isn't as good as yours.
What is it?
Naomi, from this day forward, you will also be known as Educator Loopy.
Of course you are.
Luckily, you get unlimited tries, so if you don't like your name,
you can just keep mixing it up.
You can redo, yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks for that.
You're welcome.
So we haven't got to go skate together. It's been really smoky here.
Yeah.
The fires were really bad.
We had a week solid of super toxic air. We almost broke out of the index, the AQI index. Mm-hmm. And in fact, yesterday, which was the last day of summer, was the first day in over a week that we actually had blue skies and clean air, and everybody was out. I went on a picnic.
No, I came lovely. Back today, and it was clear and nice. Happy to be back.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm all about trying to enjoy all the last bits of outsideness before it gets too cold. Hmm. I don't really like to go outside when it's cold.
Because it's cold. I don't know. I'd go snowboarding. So I do that quite a bit.
I guess it's different. But once it gets to be, like, I have to do all my fall yard cleanup, but it's still a little summery. So if I wait too long, I'm just going to be like, fuck it. I'll do it in the spring.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair.
It'll be buried with snow anyway. I won't have to see it.
I did want to say just rest in peace and thanks very much, Ruth Ginsburg.
Yeah, the notorious RBG.
Very, very sad. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I mean, I don't know if I'm sad that she died. I think I'm sad about possible...
What's going to happen
what's
now?
What's going to happen? What's going to happen this?
Yeah, I was looking at like a list of a lot of things that she helped with, but even just things like being able to like go to a doctor and have like medical decisions made without like your husband there. Just things that seem very common sense to me, but are obviously not that far away from happening again, apparently. So.
No, I mean, we kind of forget how vast backwards things were just even 30 years ago or something, you know? Even 10 years ago, even now, in certain states, like Idaho.
Yeah, yeah, and we're very close to that. So do you think that they're going to vote someone in before the election?
Well, the last headline, I didn't read the article, but the last headline was that someone was supposed to be picked very soon.
Well, of course.
And somebody was like, pre-selected or whatever.
It's really frustrating because this happened with Obama and the Republicans said, no, you can't do that before an election. And so they didn't. But now it's totally okay to do it.
I don't know if there's like rules anymore.
Rules have gone out the window, that's for sure.
I think we're just kind of on a grab and go basis.
Grab and go, like wherever the wind may take you. Did you hear about the like him saying how dangerous COVID was? I'm sorry, Trump saying how dangerous COVID was.
You can say him. I think everybody knows.
He who must not be named. saying how deadly of a disease it was.
You know, there's some real interesting COVID stuff going on. I feel like there's too much control right now over the CDC. I think they're being reined in and controlled on their messaging, which may or may not have to do with science. Just like, oh, we accidentally posted on our website that it was airborne, but we didn't mean that, so we took it down now. Like, why do you accidentally?
You don't accidentally do that. The scientists put it up and then the editors took it down.
Yeah, stuff like that that's making me feel more than ever that I need to seek my own knowledge and see things with my own eyeballs.
Well, and what bothers me is they have not been talking at all, surprise, surprise, about people with long-term COVID symptoms. I've seen like independent articles coming out about people who got COVID, but for months later, still feeling the impacts and have
fatigue,
like this chronic fatigue
issues.
Syndrome. Yeah. And it's, that's not a flu thing. That's not a, like, when is that going to be openly addressed with people? Like, there is this other part of it that could impact a certain percentage of the population.
There's so much. I mean, I'm still pissed that masks weren't recommended until we're pretty deep into it. I got to say, I called masks a vegan.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Not just because I'm part Asian. Just because it made sense.
No, I agree. I remember it was in the first week that it came out and I was on the phone with my boss. I recommended that we close for the first day while we figure out what to do. And I said, all I know is that we cannot continue business as usual. And it was so looked the other way at the time of like, well, you know, come on, don't make it a bigger deal than it is sort of thing. And then bam.
Well, there's still.
What was my Wu-Tang name?
something.
Excuse me, I am expert.
I don't remember. Expert in
intellectual.
And, expert and I'm educator loopy. What does that mean? I teach people, I'm but crazy. And they go here and there. And
whatever that is.
I guess that fits, actually. I'll take it.
So I just wanted to share a
quote. Well, just call me Loop for short.
Hey, Loopy works. I like Loopy better because it reminds me of Snoopy. Like
very street, you know. Loop would be better. Loop. Loops.
Loops. I like Loops because there's multiple, probably.
Hey, Loop, what up?
What up, Loop? So our RBG had said, it's a woman's right to control her own destiny, to be able to make choices without the big brother state telling her what she can and cannot do.
And I feel like we Suck can expand it. That in so many different directions and levels.
Yes. And with it, she was one of the first Supreme Court justices to like do a gay marriage, I believe.
Hmm. Well, I know a lot of folks are worried about the tides, what they will bring when they wash in.
Preach it, Loopy.
In the Novembers.
Yes.
So.
Please, dear God, register to vote. if it doesn't happen. If Trump gets reelected, it was either rigged or it's all of everybody's fault for not voting. It's one of those. Are
well, there's no post office boxes, so I don't know. How anyone's going to be able to vote anyway.
And we're a state that just does it that way, so it's confusing.
I mean, I knew things were taking a different direction when I heard about post office boxes being ripped out of street corners. Like, what in the fuck is happening now?
What isn't happening
now? I had to
now?
Immediately go out question. And see if mine was still down on the corner.
Just another day in paradise.
No, it's just like, okay, we just accept these things now. It's normal.
I was looking back at when I think I had my first existential crisis, and it was when Trump got elected the first time, because it was so unreal. Like, it didn't make sense in my brain. And then from then on, nothing ever made sense again.
Nothing's ever made sense
I'm waiting again. For the world to make sense again.
You know, I think I've had to let go. I've had to do a lot of radical acceptance and let go of some expectations. Just to keep my own sanity.
But you have to kind of stay in your own bubble.
You kind of have to.
Which makes it worse, though, because it's like arguing to a brick wall. They don't care.
Well, I do believe that focusing too much on that stuff is a distraction from your own work. Like, I do firmly believe that. But I also believe in activism, so.
Which there's been a lot of. Did you see that the states that got, or not states, the cities that got labeled as.
Oh, yeah.
Pro,
what the hell were they calling it?
Oh, yeah.
Was it anarchists?
It was some like anarchy city.
Yeah, Seattle got tagged.
The Seattle, Portland, and one other one. But like when they looked at crime data overall, it's like DC, like all these other ones that's like,
that you're weren't not, labeled.
Well, that have way higher crime rates, but because this happened, I don't know, it feels very targeted.
Like, was it areas that there were a lot of protesting?
Oh, yeah. Well, Seattle, Portland, and there was one of them.
Mm-hmm. You know, I really tried to take a very balanced look at things and look at it from all sides and don't just look at it from one political perspective or another. I am not a card-carrying member of any political party. I'm not super left, super right. I try to take things issue by issue and just decide what I think after, you know, a lot of thought and educating myself.
So deep, Loopy.
But, and so I haven't really, like, Trump hadn't really, like, I'm like, it's just one guy, he'll be out. I'm like, what can one guy do? It hasn't been since.
You can do a lot, I've learned.
Well, it hasn't really been since this COVID thing that I really started paying attention to what he was saying and what he was doing. I'm like, it's fucking nonsensical. Like, he needs to not do Twitter. He needs to stick to the script. He can't.
All these things you're saying is...
I don't know. Yeah, and I'm sure it was going on long ago, yeah. But I just chose to focus on my piece and other things. And
well, because it didn't directly...
It's just been way in my face.
It didn't directly impact us yet. And I think that's, you know, each group is getting the limelight and all. little sections here. And COVID uniquely impacted all of the people that I don't think even Trump expected that, where, you know, targeting other countries or minority groups, those are things that the majority tend to look away from.
But to not, to look away from science also is, it's mind, like my mind is blown.
So people do when climate change all the time.
When you stop paying attention to science and facts and start just making shit up and ripping mailboxes out of street corners, like something is amiss. I'm just going to say that. I am declaring something is amiss.
Yeah, I don't know. Way back when it all started, my biggest complaint was like, this man is going to impact me because I'm a woman. I'm a mental health, like in that field. So if he doesn't believe those things matter or that it's real, why are you wearing a scarf?
I don't know. Suddenly,
it's really hot.
It's getting to me.
What else? Woman.
Maybe it's all this Trump talk is making me sweaty.
I don't know. Anyways, we can, wow, totally jump off that train. That's not any of our topics, but it's been deeply disturbing.
Yes. Okay. should I talk about a different disturbing thing?
It's your topic. You get to go first. I'm going second. Don't worry. I came up with my topic on the drive here because I forgot about the podcast today. So you
okay. Oh, I remember
what
it is.
But I tied it in with a real thing, so it's meaningful. This sort is, of. Did you stick your tongue out?
This is good. That's my thinking.
That was really weird. Time.
You know.
Put it back.
I'm pretty sure that was like a Charlie Brown move. Okay. I want to talk to you today about SHC. What is SHC, you might ask?
Simple hairy crabs.
No. Try again.
This is harder than it should be. What was the
SHC?
Suede hamster couches.
Yes.
Oh, great. Yes. I knew it.
Let's dive into that. Or we can dive into spontaneous human combustion.
Oh, let's do that. That sounds fun. I like to talk about that after talking about sound. It just feels good to me.
Well, it's kind of like why I like to watch scary movies. It like gives a container for all my anxieties, because I can just like completely be in that world for a little bit, and it like feels good. It's the same way when I'm like diving into a topic. Okay, spontaneous human combustion can be defined as the burning of a living or very recently deceased human body without an apparent external source of ignition.
I'm probably going to jump in a lot here. I didn't know after you died. I didn't even, I mean,
what do you
real?
Know about it?
What do I know? I've heard about kind of like that, probably saw a headline, somebody just combusted and all that was left was like ashes.
Yes, maybe I should scroll down and start with the photo for you.
Is this real? A real photo?
Yeah, this is fucking
so
real.
So I don't know. Like, honestly, don't know if this is a real legit thing because I never went into it more than just a surface title.
This is a real crime scene photo.
What the frick?
What?
Shut
maybe
the
describe.
Fridge door.
Describe
That's,
what
wait,
you see.
Hold it up again and I'll describe what I see. I see legs. And an arm hanging off to the side. And then literally just debris up a wall.
I don't think that's an arm. I think there's just legs. I think that's something
what is
else.
That?
With like part of the table.
Oh, okay. I see legs.
And what do you notice like around the legs? Like the rest of the scene?
Is that blood?
No.
I can't tell. It's a black
it's just,
and white picture.
It's just like smoke. But like look oh. at that table next to the leg.
That nothing's wrong with it?
Yes.
Nothing's wrong.
Nothing is wrong with the table.
Because if the house is on fire, the table would be burned.
Bingo, bingo.
Wow.
Dinner, winner, chicken dinner.
Got it.
Yes. So that is one of the characteristics of a spontaneous human combustion case. So the victim's body, in these cases, is burned down to powder.
We are very flammable. I know that.
Oh, I'm glad you know that, because we will be diving into that with the theories.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So these bodies, save for perhaps a leg or two, are completely incinerated, like dust, like powder.
Like ash.
Like, exactly like ash.
Okay.
See why this is our therapy? We get to laugh about poor people's misfortune. It shouldn't be funny, but it's like, you know, it's like a coping strategy. Humor has been one of my main coping strategies in my life.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, I know what bad shit happens to me, I laugh. Like, it's not just laughing at other people.
Like, I kind of hope some, I mean, you know, I'm going to knock on wood because my father's listening, but if the way I go out, I'd rather it to be comical.
Yeah.
Or somebody could be like, well, that begins.
I mean, I think back to the time I ran down the alley and slipped and fell on the ice and broke three ribs and fractured my cheekbone.
Or when you
and I did nothing but laugh about
that. You hurt yourself all the time.
Yeah, my nickname when I was little was Bandit.
You also headbutted a wall.
That was alcohol.
And we taped a pad to your face.
A feminine hygiene pad.
They work really well.
I hate that word, feminine hygiene. What is the hygiene part?
Stay clean, you dirty bitch.
No, fuck that. Fuck that.
Can it just be called a, like...
a pad? A soaker? A super soaker?
Ew, oh god.
I think that...
Please get back on track.
I think that's already branded.
Super okay, soaker.
I've missed you is all.
I missed you too. It's been a while.
It's been too long. See, now we're going to talk too much because we haven't hung out at all.
Sorry, guys.
We'll try to take care of this on our own time next time.
Whatever.
There have been 200 recorded cases of spontaneous human combustion, or SHC, over a period of 300 years. So that's a lot, I would say.
Yeah. I didn't know it happened, really.
Yeah, 200. I mean, there could be, give or take. So cases have these three characteristics. Surroundings not damaged.
Mm-hmm.
There is no visible source of the fire. And parts of the body are left intact.
Okay.
So if I spontaneously human combusted right now, everything would be fine.
I'd be so scared.
I might have like a hand drop to the ground, perfectly fine.
Would you want me to continue podcasting?
Everything
about
would
it?
Be dust.
Would you enjoy that?
If is you could describe it live, I think that would be great. We'd probably pick up a few Instagram followers over that.
Yeah, I don't, you manage the Instagram, so we're in trouble.
All right, I'm going to go over a few of the cases. Just because, like you said, people are like, is this real? Is this not? I'm not here to say definitively one way or the other. I'm here to just tell a story and let you, the listener, and you, the Macy, decide.
Oh, cool. Expert intellectual is here to please.
And Loop is going in for the kill. Here we go. The earliest case was recorded in 1470 in Milan, Italy, when Polonus Borstius died by bursting into flames after a night of drinking.
He was especially flammable.
Especially flammable. And that makes me think about, like, that's a saying we say when somebody's, like, really drunk, like, oh, they're really flammable, or I was really flammable last night.
I've never heard that before.
Really? I have.
What generation is that from?
A different one than you.
Paul's never heard of it either.
Well, maybe it's a California thing. I don't know.
Where did you hear it from, out of curiosity?
I can't think of it.
You're
now.
So flammable.
I don't have the details to back that story up.
You sloshy drunk, you're so flammable.
I have a vague recollection. Okay, 1966. Moving on to 1966. That was a big jump in years. 92-year-old Dr. John Irving Bentley. The meter reader.
Meter.
And saw a strange blue smoke. He entered the house and went to the doctor's bedroom, which was full of smoke. This was the 60s, so you could just walk in this one's house, so it's no biggie.
Warrants didn't exist then.
I mean, if my reader fucking came in my house, That would be a totally different story. My golf club over there in the corner would be swinging.
Is that what that's for? Is that a self-protection golf club?
That's my self-protection golf club.
Hidden behind your guitar case.
And I don't know enough about golf to know what kind of club it is. I just know it's a golf club. I don't even know how it came into my possession. Because I don't golf.
So you're a home evasion
weapon. Home security. Okay, so he went to the bedroom. It was full of smoke. The adjoining bathroom is where the meter reader discovered the charred remains of the doctor. All that remained of him was the lower half of his right leg, still wearing a slipper. Strangely, the bath, as well as the rest of the bathroom, had been virtually untouched by the fire, apart from the staining from the smoke. So that's that typical scene with those three characteristics. No visible, no external source of fire. Everything around the person is untouched, and they are charred to ashes with like one little thing intact. And if it's a leg, there's often a shoe around the leg, but
because they peed on themselves.
I don't know. You tell me.
I'm
the educator expert.
You're educator loopy?
Loops?
Loops.
We're going by loops.
Yeah.
Or loop, for shorter. 1951, Mary Reeser, nicknamed the Cinder Woman, was a 67-year-old living in Florida.
Often confused with Slender Man's aunt.
The night before her death, she had spoken with her son and told him she had taken 2 Secanol tablets. And she was maybe a mild sedative,
okay,
like you might take it before surgery. She was maybe planning on taking 2 more before bed. Her son was a doctor, so I guess that was okay. It was cool.
This seems like a lot of sedatives for sleep.
Okay. I didn't really dive into the relationship, so.
All right.
That night, Mary fell asleep in her chair. Her landlady came by the next morning and smelled smoke and noticed soot in the hallway. When she touched the doorknob to the apartment, it was too hot for her to open. So with the help of nearby house painters, they got into the apartment. Inside, all that was left of Mary Reeser was part of her left foot inside her slipper. Notes the theme here.
Footwear.
Foot and slippers. Her skull was also there, but had been shrunken down to the size of a teacup, which we were drinking wine out of. So this size, her skull was this size.
Like mass dehydration.
I
made that noise.
There's also a little bit of spine. According to a cremation expert, in order for a body to burn completely, it would need to burn at 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit for 3 to 4 hours. That's hella hot.
Hella hot.
Hella hot. But somehow the
area... Because remember, we've done some episodes where we talked about like people who have killed people. And one of them
people
being where,
killed people.
Where he like tried to burn the body in a barrel. And there were all these problems with that because of how hot and like the condition that it needed to be in to burn the body successfully.
That it's harder than
yeah.
you think.
Yeah, it's not as easy.
Just like digging a grave, harder than you think.
Harder than you think. Yeah. Like pick your ground choice. Well,
truth. I can relate to that. That's a story for another day. Okay. 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit for 3 to 4 hours would be necessary to burn a body completely, but the area around Mary, totally unaffected. Weird, right?
Weird.
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 In the corner where the fire occurred, the walls were not damaged. There were no signs of scorching or cracked paint.
What if someone just like came in and shoved a bomb inside of her throat and ran out?
Oh my God, that is not a theory on my list. I will have to add that in there.
Okay, good.
When we go through theories in a minute,
okay,
let's talk about your theory.
Okay.
Because I like that you're thinking. The wheels are turning. That's what this podcast is all about.
Okay.
Turning the wheels.
Swirling it around in there.
Making loopy loops.
Loops.
says Educator Luke B. Okay. A stack of newspapers right near Mary were undamaged. Newspapers!
Those
for
burn.
God's sake! I know!
For God's sakes!
When firefighters came on scene, they reported extreme heat, but no smoldering.
Hmm.
So it wasn't like, you know, if you let your fire pit go for a while, but it's like smoldering. It wasn't like that. It was just hot.
So we know it's not charcoal because charcoal smokes a lot.
There was no smoldering, just ashes and heat.
Okay.
Investigators did not know what the heck was going on. They said in burning cases, skulls may swell, crack, or explode, but not shrink. An FBI lab found no traces of combustibles, but they did find fat melted into the rug. That's a clue.
I got a lot of that.
Many causes of the fire were ruled out. Lightning, an electrical fire, a chair catching on fire. Mary did smoke a cigarette the night before. All right, so that's Mary Reeser, the Cinder Woman. There have been other cases, not just in the U.S. In 1980, Henry Thomas, 73 years old, was found burned to death in the living room of his council house in South Wales. His entire body was incinerated, leaving only his skull and a portion of each leg before the knee. That's that photo I showed you.
Okay.
So it's a very disturbing and disconcerting because both legs are just like symmetrically
sitting.
Intact.
It's like
he
exploded and plopped down.
Yeah. And the legs are just there. So you might think, has anybody ever witnessed one of these? Well, yes, Macy. There has been witnesses.
Oh.
In 1982, Jean Sacken of London, England, burst into flames right in front of her family. There was another case in the U.S. I didn't write down any documentation, but I briefly watched a YouTube video on it and became disinterested. So, the most recent one was in 2010. So, this is recent. This is, I'd say, 10 years ago.
You'd say that.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
This was the first case in Ireland.
Hmm.
Michael Faherty of
Ireland.
I'm
sure that's exactly how it sounds.
I don't
I'm
do
so
it.
Sorry,
we've discussed I don't do
listeners.
It. I don't do them. It's not that I don't want to do them. I just have a...
You should probably not want to.
A challenge. An accent challenge.
Any survivors? Is a question posed by the room.
Yes, that guy that I... was talking about that I started watching his thing and became disinterested because I kind of felt like it wasn't legit. Because
he didn't combust.
He didn't combust. He caught on fire in front of his friends. He lived and he was flailing around.
Could have been a trick. Because the whole thing is like,
or
it's
he could have
ashes, right?
Accidentally caught himself on fire for whatever reason. Because in all these actual determined to be SHC cases, there was no flailing about. They're just like sitting in a fucking chair. Yeah, and this guy, this is why I became disinterested because he started talking about how he was like freaking out about it. I'm like, oh, I don't think this is legit.
Yeah, like this person's skull literally turned into a teacup.
Yeah, I don't think his skull was drinking. It may have already been small.
Wow, he really didn't like this guy.
I determined it to be not legit. I mean, I'm no spontaneous human combustion professor, but I am Educator Luby, so listen to me on this. All right, so that first Irish case, the doctor made this statement. So this is just 10 years ago, so modernish. This fire was thoroughly investigated, and I'm left with the conclusion that this fits into the category of spontaneous human combustion, for which there is no adequate explanation.
Okay, but if it happens repeatedly, we have to come up with some sort, even if it's like a, if Trump can explain things that he doesn't understand, then I feel like we should have some sort of explanation.
Well, we're going to dive into theories here, and maybe we will solve this. Maybe we'll crack this case together.
I am
tonight.
Really betting on the bomb being shut down someone's mouth.
That's not on my list.
It could have been a family member.
And I was trying to gather as many theories as I could find, and I didn't see that one.
Oh.
So In all the cases that are actually documented as SHC, the victims don't try to escape. They don't indicate that they're on fire, so they're no like calling out for help. So that tells me it was very fast.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happened was very, very fast. Okay, let's dive into the theories.
Let's do it.
Shall we?
Yeah.
Could it be a poltergeist?
God damn it.
I'm sorry, I couldn't keep a straight voice. I was really wanting to pull that off, and I couldn't.
Ghosts. All right. How come every one of your conspiracy theories always has to do with the ghosts?
So,
go on, tell me more.
You know, I really wanted to present a diverse array of
okay,
theories.
What did they say? I'm not pushing it out of the realm of possibility. Fire. I just find it comical how you always coded this.
Fire from Heaven author Michael Harrison, so it's not just me, argues, quote, "The force which activates the poltergeist originates in and is supplied by a human being." Unquote. Therefore, SHC is a poltergeist phenomenon.
Because it's like a massive amount of energy.
Because it's like from inside the being of the human.
Okay. Valid, because I can't not prove it wrong.
I'm just going to throw in aliens. I have nothing more to say on that. I feel like...
Of course you do.
For us to make a thorough list, you have to have aliens in there at some
point. I mean, you know, they're like, done with you. Let's see how fast this one pops. Ray gun.
This is actually my own theory. I didn't find this anywhere.
Okay.
A meteor strike.
Oh.
Like, say you have a window open or a door open, a meteor just shoots in and boom, poof, pow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I mean,
I actually read an article about a lady she's the only person who's ever been hit directly by a meteor in, like, her leg and survived.
Oh my God. That is a story I told on the podcast.
That she got hit?
Not to be true.
It's not true at all?
I researched it after. Though sometimes I feel like I've seen things on the internet.
Oh,
the
I know where
gets
you
cleansed.
I know where you found that from, because I was.
I never can find it again.
Your story about the hikers and the tent. Remember, they like disappeared. Like some had like their tongue missing. They were like.
That was your story.
Was that my topic?
Oh my
God. It was
God.
A really long time. Dyatlov
Pass.
Oh yeah.
That was your topic. Nancy.
That was my topic. So I was looking into that more because there was something that came up and it was like the answers to Dyatlov Pass. I'm like, what? Oh, like more information.
Did it have something about a meteor strike going through a lady's skull and coming out her foot? Because that's what I had remembered learning about.
It was the worst piece of anything I've ever seen, because it went from that to talking about like nuclear testing that specifically... And they, like, kind of explained how it could have been that with the burns and, like, how they left really quickly. But then it went from that to somehow talking about meteors and then somehow talking about space rocks. And then it, like, made no – it didn't connect at all. So I
think
it was
now that
a
I'm
horrible
thinking,
rabbit trail of an article.
Now that you're bringing this back up, I had a whole thing with this because I distinctly remember reading that internet article about it and like the details and how they even like got to keep the little
they kept the meteor and then she they thought they were gonna get rich from it.
I
and
feel like
they
this
never
is a Mandela effect thing, because I scoured the internet like only I can through the night, and I couldn't find a fucking thing on it. Yet I clearly remember reading this article.
I found it.
The lady lived in England, I believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It went like through her head, through her body, out her foot. Right?
She survived.
Yeah, she survived.
Yeah.
I can't find it now. After I talked about it, I can't find it.
It was embedded in a different article explaining something else. And each like
send it to me for my sanity.
But by the end you're like, wait, how are we talking about space rocks? That's nothing to do with your title over here. It's like the perfect clickbait. So I think we got spoofed.
I do think either Mandela Effect is absolutely real, or somebody is going through and cleaning the internet, which is one of my future topics.
But I found it. I really want to talk about it. I found it recently.
Prove it. Send it to me, please.
Prove it.
Okay. No, I want to look at it with my own. Me. No, I need.
Don't airshake me.
I need for my own eyes.
Okay, I'll try to find it. And if I can't find it, I'll let you know.
I'm so sorry.
It's very hot again.
Okay. Ball of lightning, another theory. Kind of similar to a meteor strike.
Pause. Ball of lightning?
A ball of lightning.
Is that the thing?
Lightning up. Balls up.
I don't know what that means. Hold on.
Lightning forms.
I've never heard this term many before.
Configurations, including balls.
Ball lightning.
Yeah.
Oh, this is real, guys.
Yeah, so maybe.
There's a 1901 depiction of ball lightning.
Yeah, maybe a ball of lightning.
Unexplained phenomenon described as luminescent, a spherical object, that variety from pea-sized to meters long.
So say that all the whatever.
The scientific data remains scarce.
Everything was right for a ball of lightning to be created right near that person.
Statistical investigations in 1960, ball lightning has been seen by 5% of the population of Earth. And studies analyzed 10,000 cases of ball lightning.
So ball lightning is bantied about as a theory. Mm.
Who knew?
Is another one of mine that I threw in here. Because it wasn't really talked about enough. I mean, I'm sure it's not the first person to think of this, but it really wasn't found in my research a lot, but murder or suicide.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The fire started purposely by any number of means. There wasn't a lot on
drinking
this.
Drinking a lot of alcohol or something, and then maybe lighting
something
lighter down your throat.
Yeah.
Or a torch, perhaps.
Yeah, it was only kind of mentioned in passing. There wasn't a lot on that. Secret weapons testing.
Okay.
So
it's a little dial-a-talk pass-ish.
Maybe the government is secretly testing something and it's not having the best of effects on the testes.
But are these people
not testes,
in a certain
like,
testicles? Mm, not the
no,
testes.
Like yeah. The people
test participants.
Test subjects.
This podcast is going great. So glad I made it.
Oh, this is a theory I really, really enjoy. This is by the author Larry Arnold of the book Ablaze! The Mysterious Fires of Spontaneous Human Combustion.
You have to say Ablaze!
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 Larry Arnold is apparently the world's foremost expert on SHC.
I hope someone says that about me someday. You know, Macy said is apparently the expert on ball lightning. She talked about it once.
So this theory, one of two theories of Larry Arnold that I'll cover, both which I love, is the subatomic pyrotron theory, which is based on quantum physics, which I fucking love me some quantum physics, yo. An extremely small but high-powered particle zips through the spaces in the human body between the quarks that make up our atoms. So it's zipping around. On rare occasions, however, a rogue particle directly hits a quark and sets off an internal chain reaction that would be like an internal atomic bomb.
Wow.
So that would...
That sounds real.
Explain why it's from the inside out.
And so rare.
And so extremely hot and fast. Why'd you make your face? Do we have assholes in the room?
No.
Because we can push the button of power.
You're fine.
Okay, another one of this guy's theories that I super love. Remember when I was talking about Kundalini and the Shakti pot?
Oh yeah, the Shakti pot.
Shakti pot. So there's this energy that lives in the base of our spine. And according to Kundalini, it's a coiled serpent. Oh, and with practice, we can release this energy and it will be able to flow up and down the spine and radiate within and without our entire being with power and energy that feels amazing. And this belief is also a part of the Kabbalah. So Kundalini can create this internal temperature spike.
This one has lost me already.
When we're out of balance.
I like the science-y theory better.
Okay, well, everything's connected.
Or ghost. That's my second favorite.
So this unbalance, though, can be caused by stress. So stress is another theory.
Wouldn't we all have fucking exploded by now?
Who's to say it's not going to happen?
I mean, do we got timelines of when these people self-exploded?
Are older.
And are they? Wait, okay, so there's a trend. So most people are older when they self-combust.
Yes.
Most people are older when they commit suicide as well, as we found out. Suicide forced.
Yes.
So that also makes me lean more towards that explanation.
An intentional thing.
Intentional.
Here's the most popular theory. It's called the wick theory.
Is it like a wax?
Yes.
Burning body candle?
Yes.
Oh.
According to the wick theory, the victims may have died in their sleep for whatever reason, heart attack, what have you.
Okay.
Or were unable to move.
But wait, what about the person that was seen self-combusting in front of their family?
I couldn't find a lot of deets on that one.
Hmm. Okay, sorry, go on.
I wanted more. I did try.
Okay.
And that's where I found the other guy where I'm like, eh.
Liar.
Yeah. Liar face. Yeah, so they either died in their sleep or were unable to move. So say you're in a chair, you're old, you fall asleep. That happens a lot, apparently.
I've seen it when I went and had my wisdom teeth removed. There's a lady who fell asleep and they had to check on her every 5 minutes because they were scared she was going to die.
I mean, one day I'm just going to be sitting there and just, you'll be looking at me and like, I'm asleep.
I'm going to poke you with your golf club for your home invasion.
Yeah. Oh my God. Please do. So the fire could have come after they're asleep or died, might have come from an external source, such as dropping a lit cigarette. So they're already dead, so you're not going to see the flailing, panicking.
Okay.
And the cigarette charred the clothing of the victim, splitting the skin and releasing subcutaneous fat.
Okay.
The fat is then absorbed into the burning clothing, acting as a wick. As a candle.
Oh,
this
man.
Turns them into a human candle.
I would be the best human candle.
The combustion can continue for as long as fuel is available.
Exactly.
So the FBI's explanation for the death of Mary Reeser was, quote, once the body became ignited, almost complete destruction occurred from its own fatty tissues, unquote. So the wick effect theory is for sure plausible, but it is not definitive. And I think a lot of folks have already decided that that is the explanation and it is the definitive.
Because there's no flail. Like, okay. I mean, I see how that could be explained. I still think your science-y answer was better.
But they would have had to die because if they're awake and a cigarette falls on them, you would wake up, it would burn you, you'd start flailing.
So it would
around.
Only be like smokers.
Smokers, or like they're right next to something else that's going to extremely
light
them.
That fell.
And they have to die right before it happens also.
Like what's the death like timeline? Is it any length of death or is it immediate?
They're usually all discovered the next day or morning. So they're not sitting there for weeks.
Okay, well,
and it's fast. I mean, it's a fast thing.
Are all these people smokers? Can we at least have that little bit of data that would be helpful?
I would probably need to.
Why wouldn't they tell you that? If they say, damn it, I don't want to read this book.
I think there was a lot of cigarette smokers, but I don't, in my superficial research, I wasn't able to find that.
That would be the easiest way. Like, if they all smoked, you'd be like, oh, okay.
But there's still a lot of things that are unexplained. Like, why is the fire just that person? Why is nothing around her?
That's true, because there's many people that catch their houses on fire from dropping a cigarette, and they don't burn their body fat off.
Yes.
Like a candle.
So there's little destruction. And then listen to this weirdness.
Okay.
In some cases, in other rooms or like 20 feet away, like the area around the person's fine, but like in another room or far away, there's noticeable damage. So in one instance, the TV in another room had completely melted down.
What? And next. So that, I mean, that goes with the lady trying to open the door and the handle was still so hot that she couldn't touch it.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of goes with ball lightning. Because if there's a ball of lightning, it's going to zip, zip, zip around.
I mean, you know? It still sounded pretty.
Bounce off of this, fuck up that.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't seem that definitive just from what I looked up just now. That ball lightning is like a common thing.
So the heat is so intense that investigators said sometimes it only took 20 minutes for the body to completely disintegrate. And remember our crematorium expert, crematoriumologist, said 3 to 4 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So that's the main theory.
And I hate to bring up my trauma episode of the one where the station fire, the one that has ruined me as a human being now, because I looked it up. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
But that
RIP,
one.
Anybody died in that, and our thoughts go out to any survivors.
But
truly one of the most horrific things
that
has ever happened.
One of the worst things I've ever seen on it. I don't know how they haven't ripped that off of the internet, but the piles of people on fire.
Yes, that is the image that stuck with me for like.
Yeah, it's there right now.
10 years.
We should change nightmares again.
Change channels.
I wouldn't light a fire in my house for months because of that.
And the DSM-5, fuck you, DSM-5, says that vicarious trauma by looking at images doesn't exist. So you know.
Thanks.
Everything, DSM-5.
Doctors.
All right.
I'm a doctor. I'm a better doctor.
Static electricity. Maybe. Bacteria. Don't know. Maybe.
Wait, a bacteria? You didn't really go into that one?
Because I don't really have a lot of those. I just wanted to throw in a lot of theories. Most of the theories,
There.
Pyrophoric liquid.
Okay.
So diphosphane is found in the gut and may ignite hydrogen and methane gases, which would explain the blue flames that witnesses have seen coming from people's abdomens.
Mm. Mm. Well, but that kind of makes sense because people hold farts in there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Alcohol consumption.
Yep.
So back to being.
That makes sense.
Flammable, quote unquote. Apparently, I only know that
term. Whatever social term that was, wave.
Yeah. So this can apparently really increase flammability of the human body, and extreme stress
because it goes through your bloodstream.
Trigger
in your bloodstream.
So don't get shitty and stress.
Yep,
smoke
a cigarette,
blow up,
or be an older person. These are all risk factors, and don't do all those things during a lightning storm. You're really betting the odds there. Betting the odds, whatever.
Here's my last sciencey one.
Okay.
In 2012, a scientist wrote in New Science magazine, which I've never heard of, that a large concentration of acetate, which is probably related to acetone that one removes nail polish with, may contribute to the SHC. Acetone buildup can come from things like drinking alcohol, your diet, diabetes. Additionally, ketosis, which may be caused by alcoholism or a low carb diet, can produce acetone, which is highly flammable. I mean, back in my pyro days when I was like 13, 14,
I didn't have this.
I would use nail polish remover in my room to make a little mini bonfire. Trolled, Macy.
You combusted.
Okay. Don't look at me like that.
Your poor mom.
Whatever.
Yeah, exactly what I'd expect you to say.
Okay. Now, here's my question, because I don't diet. Is the keto diet a low-carb diet, and it can it lead to spontaneous human combustion? Because I see the word ketosis.
Oh, I was like, where are you pulling this together? Isn't keto like high protein?
But would that mean low carbs?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Low carbs, high protein.
Well, I don't know enough to say definitively, but there might possibly be a link between low-carb dieting and spontaneous human combustion.
Can I share my theory now?
So, everyone, buy a fucking bagel.
Okay, my theory.
Oh, yes. Yes. Let's go back to your
my theory just now is that someone who really didn't like this person, that's why it's so rare, ran in and shoved some sort of explosive device inside of the person's throat, so it got lodged, and then ran away, and then that person exploded.
But they didn't explode. They burned.
Well, they put some sort of chemical explosion inside of them where they burned from the inside out.
And that would just keep them right there.
Whatever it was, this was made for that. Mm. Yeah.
You know, I think it's a plausible theory. Let's keep it on the list.
It's just as plausible as ghosts and aliens, okay?
So one final theory, divine intervention. You know, people always banty about the term, I'm going to be struck down right now.
Super rude. Just the people who died. You exploded in a horrible death that nobody can explain, and it's because you're a horrible
I'm just going to make it personal about me. Like, I've had thoughts where, like, oh, God, I'm going to be struck by lightning right now.
Smited.
And then maybe God just takes this ball of lightning and just
I've walked into throws a few churches strike. And had that thought of, here we go.
Well,
and then nothing terrible happened.
I mean, what is smote? It sounds related to combustion.
Okay.
And back in the day, there was a lot of smoting by God.
Smoting? Yeah. Smiting?
Smote, I think.
I'm pretty sure it's smiting. I'm not the expert. You should be.
Back to the early days of my Sunday school.
Smite.
And I'm pretty sure somebody was smote for being bad.
I'm looking this up.
Go ahead. I'll just summarize all of this with the fact that
it's smite. That?
But I think smote is a form of no, smite is different.
Okay, hold on. It's a past tense of smite.
Yeah, see? Like he smote.
Wow. I now know more.
God smote them.
I didn't know there was a past yesterday. Tense. I was like, God smited them.
Hey, I have had my bob and smite.
I have not.
So. All right, so let's just defer to the one who's had the bob
defer
and
smite. Defer to Loopy over there.
Loops? It's loops. So
I don't like it.
Okay, I'm just going to summarize by saying some are skeptical.
Some are what?
Oh, okay. Spontaneous human
testes has been your theme of the night.
Some have cast doubt that it even exists and think that, like, let's just look at the most simple answer, you know, that it's probably an old person just sitting too close to something flammable.
Silly old girl. It's all that knitting and crocheting. It's so flammable.
And they say, you know, if this is a real thing, why doesn't it happen more often? Why right. don't we
Why doesn't Bigfoot get hit by a car?
Why don't we see your episode bursting into flame all the time? Right? You know? Benjamin Radford, science writer and deputy editor of the science magazine.
What is Skeptical it? Deputy
Inquirer. I don't know.
That's quite a title to give yourself.
That's what I have to say, Ben. I don't know. All right. That's the SHC.
Cool. Well, as I said at the start of this podcast, I forgot we had a podcast today. So I picked one because I got to go to a natural science and history museum over the weekend. And I saw two real mummies, like real mummies. Like their teeth kind of sticking out of the wrap and like their eyeballs kind of coming through and their feetsies. Like they were wrapped, but you could tell the parts of the wrap around the face that had like decayed away.
I like mummies.
Yeah, so my topic is about mummification.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. So.
Paul says my mic sounds weird.
Why does your mic sound weird?
I don't know.
You sound fine to me.
You texted me that like an hour ago.
It shouldn't.
Okay. He said, are you talking into the right part of your mic?
Oh, God. Are you?
I am. Aren't you? This is part, right?
The label should be facing you?
Yes. I'm not talking to the logo this time.
What is he saying it's doing?
I don't know. Asking for more information while I drink my wine.
Oh, the editing ahead.
I love the Rosicrucians. And I considered joining at one time, but they're really into Egyptian culture. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're in San Jose. I've been several times to their museum where they have a replica of an Egyptian tomb.
You sound like a tin can again.
Fuck. Fix me. Fix me, Macy.
Not again.
You're the techie one. I'm the loopy one.
It's probably because remember how I said you start talking and you talk far away?
No, I'm close. How does it sound now? How do you like me now?
Keep talking.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you how much I like cat mummies. Because I like them a lot.
Is that better?
Is that better? Paul? It sounds louder in my head.
Because I turned it up.
You cranked me up.
Because I don't know if you are talking into the right part.
I mean, it looks right.
Why is it so low?
They said
it's better. Okay. You're talking to the, you're like up here talking to the phone. Oh my, you're supposed to be like down here.
I think this is a good time to remind everybody that we are not professionals.
We're on episode 76. We're pretty dang professional by now.
We are counselors.
We are counselors and we don't do this
one. We have full-time plus side hustles and this is just like a little fun thing, so.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
That sounds better.
Okay, good.
Yeah, okay. All right, cool.
Thanks, well, I guess I should have checked my text an hour ago. I was focusing.
All right, so yes, mummification. So I'm going to specifically talk a little bit more about the ancient Egyptians, because those are the mummies that I saw. They believed that the resurrection of the body and everlasting life would come from mummification. The belief was rooted in what they observed each day. So the sun fell in the western horizon each evening and then was reborn the next morning in the east.
That makes sense.
Right? New life sprouted from grains planted in the earth and moons waxed and waned. As long as order was maintained, everything was highly dependable and life after death could be achieved provided certain conditions were met. So it kind of makes sense to me, like, when I read that, it's like, okay. They were like, everything has order, and everything comes and grows back. So how do we make that happen where they go on to the afterlife successfully?
And it kind of relates to seasons, too. Like, everything dies in the winter, but in the spring, it's all reborn.
Yeah. So, for example, the body had to be preserved through mummification and given a properly furnished tomb with everything in, quote-unquote, needed in the afterworld. So those things may be gold. It could be oftentimes organs would be wrapped with different symbolic like statues and things that were meant to be for the gods. So all those different things to help them move forward. Mummification, the preservation of the body was described in the ancient pyramid texts with the death of Osiris, the god of death. The cosmos fell into chaos, and the tears of the gods turned into materials used to mummify his body. Mm. These materials included honey, resin, and incense.
I loved honey.
Before mummification evolved, the corpse was placed in a sleeping fetal position and put into a pit. Along with the personal items such as clay pots, jewelry, the pit was covered with sand, which absorbed all the water from the body, thus preserving it. I have to say I'm going to pause here because I actually watched a video to go along with this that talked about how it depended how close that person was from a mummification place. Because say if that person died very far away, they may have things like brain-eating insects or beetles that eat their flesh. So they have to do it when the body's fresh. Well, sometimes they found bodies that were mummified, but they had the remains of insects inside of them, like dead insects by that time, that wouldn't normally happen along the typical mummification process.
So that was like the crappy job?
Well, it's more like they found the body and it was far away.
What do you mean far away? Far away from
that? Like maybe they died and it took a while to find their body and it had already been eaten by bugs. And then they'd mummify
the body. They did their best.
After, yeah.
But would they still get to go to the afterlife in those conditions? Or would
they, so they didn't necessarily have
bugs in their body on the other side?
They didn't necessarily know all of that. So sometimes, so one of the mummies that I saw
had a lot of Beetlejuice.
Had its brains, had the brain removed. It's not actually like a grab it out with a hook sort of deal. It's apparently a little harder than that. They said that they might have put something that actually helped, like, melt the brain a bit, so then they could just kind of drain it out of your skull. Like,
ooze it out.
Yeah, so they poke a hole through and drain it out.
I don't imagine that you would stick a hook in and just pull it out.
But that's what most people kind of imagine, but probably not.
I would say not.
But some mummies were found with, like, their brains and their organs still in there, and so there was... The mummies I saw, one had the organs present and one didn't.
So I'm thinking there was different price points.
Maybe. So the one that didn't was a 35-year-old woman who they said wasn't originally in that tomb. So the tomb that they had found her in wasn't her original. So there's a lot of explanations from that being like pulled up tomb.
Oh, maybe different cultural practices and person got moved around.
Yeah, exactly. The one body where the organs were removed, what they did was they would wrap them and re-put them in the body with like the statue. So it actually kept more of a figure form. Like they look more body shape than the ones with the organs where like the ribs actually kind of like sunk in and caved under that pressure. So yeah, that was interesting to me. Okay.
It is interesting.
So the burial pits were eventually lined with mud, brick, and then they were roofed over. And the deceased were wrapped in animal skins or put in like a pottery with baskets, wooden coffins. With these quote-unquote improvements, decay was slowed because the body no longer came in contact with hot sand.
So hot sand decays bodies.
Yeah, to solve this problem, the internal organs of the deceased were removed. And drying agents were used to mummify.
Like?
So first of all, some of the jars that were used, they were called canopic jars. One of Horus's four sons were represented on the lids of each jar. I have a picture if you want to see. The human-headed Imetsi looked after the liver. Happy, a baboon, guarded the lungs.
I feel like I need to go to the basement and bring something up and show you.
What do you have in the basement? What do you have?
Something.
Is it a jar for organs?
No, it's a mummy that I made.
At the end, bring it up.
Okay. I mean, I hadn't even thought of that until just now.
Okay. You have the weirdest shit in your basement.
I do, I'm sorry.
Jamatef? Which is a jackal, protects the stomach, and I'm not going to say this right, Kebehesenoth, a falcon, cared for the intestines. So these jars were placed in there to help preserve.
I think it's pretty badass, the figures that have, like, the head of an animal and, like, a human body.
Oh, yeah.
and everybody was sideways. I like that.
So this began in Egypt around 2400 BC, and it continued all the way through the Greco-Roman period. It was believed that only pharaohs could attain immortality, though. So only the pharaohs got the immortals.
Well, what was all the...
It changed. It changed. So around 2000 BC, everyone could live in the afterworld as long as the body was mummified and the proper elements were placed in the tomb.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And
so
I bet
it started.
The pharaohs were like, what am I going to do all by myself in the afterlife? Like, that's fucking boring. I need my servants here to make me my soup.
So mummification was actually super expensive, and only the wealthy were able to afford it. So,
oh my god, this reminds me of cryogenics.
Cryogenics?
Yes.
Yeah. Although mummification was not a strict requirement for resurrection in the next world, it was certainly regarded as a highly desirable means of attaining it. The prayer in the Book of the Dead were intended to help the deceased make a successful transition to the afterlife. So the art of mummification was performed in the third intermediate period. So I'm gonna read here a little bit from this process. As much of the brain as it is possible is extracted through the nostril with an iron hook, which again, probably not fully true. And what the hook cannot reach is dissolved with drugs. There we go. Next.
I got a big chunk
all
of
right,
the
all right.
And there's a lot in there.
A lot of whooshing. Next, the flank is split. The flank is split open and the entire contents of the abdomen is removed. The cavity is then thoroughly cleansed and washed out. Then it is filled with pure crushed mirish, kaja, and all other aromatic substances, except frankincense.
Not frankincense.
I guess not. The incision is sewn up, and then the body is placed in natron, covered in for 70 days, never longer. When this period has ended, the body is washed and then wrapped from head to feet in linen that's been cut into strips and smeared on the underside with a gum commonly used by the Egyptians in the place of gore. So natron, that thing I said, it's a disinfectant agent, and they use that to help essentially dry out the corpse. You get it from like dried up riverbeds.
Oh.
Yeah. It was packed around and inside the body in linen bags and left for 35 to 40 days for the moisture to draw out of the tissue. It's kind of interesting that we both talked about bodies and like
we
tissue.
We did both talk about bodies.
So
everything's connected, Missy.
The body was filled with Nile mud, sawdust, lichen, and cloth scraps to make it flexible. Small cooking onions or linen pads were sometimes used to replace the eyes. But beginning in the third dynasty, the internal organs were removed, washed with palm wine and spices, and stored in four separate jars.
That smell almost good.
Yeah, like that's like the perfume of the mummies. Yeah. So in this setup, the heart was left in the body because it was considered the center of intelligence.
And isn't that interesting that we are still so into the symbol of as being the center,
like the center of things.
Emotion.
Yeah, like listen to your heart.
Power, yes,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Mm-hmm.
More than the brain. We don't talk about the brain in the same way.
No. The corpse was then washed, wrapped in linen, as many as 35 layers, and soaked in resin and oils. This gave the skin a blackened appearance resembling like a pitch. And it came from the Arabic word mamiya, which means bibutumin, which is a pitch substance. So this continued over time. And so, like you said, there's various types of mummification in different cultures. One thing that was interesting is I did see like a mummified, like little baby alligator, like a real one. And it was pretty cool to see.
In San Jose, if you go to the Rosicrucian Museum, they have mummified cats.
There's a picture of a mummified
I'm
cat here.
And they are like little cat-shaped little mummies.
They did everything from bulls and hawks to snakes to cats. Some have been found in large quantities. Others are rare. Many species were raised in the temples to be sacrificed to the gods. So autopsies on cats show that most had their necks broken when they were about 2 years old. Cats were highly valued members of the ancient Egyptian household, and they helped kill rats and mice that obviously infest places like that. Yeah.
But, I mean, that sucks that they didn't just live out their life and die and then were mummified. It sounds like whenever their human died, then they were like, oh, well.
Snap its neck.
Time to go.
So, but there were so many cats, though. It says that in the 19th century, vast quantity of cat mummies were then sent to England to be used as fertilizer because so many were mummified.
But they're kind of rare now. Maybe they sent too many.
Yeah, it's all fertilizer now. So the practice reaches height during the 11th and 12th century BC in Thebes. Where the present day...
Let's go with that.
Okay. So, I mean, really the whole purpose of this, though, is to help them get into the afterlife. So my question for you is, what have you done to help you get into the afterlife?
Well, I don't believe in the afterlife, so...
Okay. I've done nothing. You've been ill-prepared.
I just try to make this life as amazing as possible because I believe that's all I have.
I have to say, I feel really bad for this 35-year-old woman who had her body displayed in a museum because, like, you could see her teeth stick out on her eye, and she looked like my height. But, you know, her dead body is displayed for... just thousands of people. Well, I mean, it was over, gosh, what was that time frame? 2000 BC.
Oh,
no, okay. This is like an actual mummy.
So there was no consent for family members. Okay.
No, no. This was someone who they didn't know how she ended up in the coffin she was in. She was actually in a coffin that was meant for a man. So they expect that maybe they were sold separately and then combined at some point, that sort of thing.
You know, there's a lot of thoughts on, like, is that expectation? But I think when it gets to be that much in the past that people don't have concerns about that as much. There was an exhibit that is a traveling one that was in Spokane a couple years ago, maybe like, gosh, 5-6 years ago now. And I can't remember what it's called, but it was actually dead human beings that had their skin.
Oh,
all
yeah.
Off.
I remember you telling me that, where it was like the skin museum.
The skin was no skin. It was all everything under the skin, but they were people that had died in, you know, recentish times.
But they volunteered.
They volunteered, yeah. But, or their families volunteered them.
Mm-hmm.
So that means they didn't volunteer. And they were all posed in like these action shots, like, oh, I'm
running.
And they had like, babies and kids, and I think that I'm usually kind of strong stomachy about stuff. Like, I felt nauseous, and I could not eat chicken after that for months and months.
I wanted
and
to
months.
Go see that, but I didn't.
They looked like chicken. I couldn't deal with it. I had to leave. It was way too much for me. It was. I didn't like how they were displayed. It's like, oh, I'm jumping rope. Oh, I'm pushing this dead baby in a stroller. Like, I didn't like that. I found it was somewhat disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So just kind of a side note of one thing that I found was that in 2018, an archaeologist actually unearthed an ancient Egyptian funeral home. So... it was underneath the city of the dead, located at the banks of the Nile. And they said that they were actually very smart businessmen because what they found were like different types of coffins. So like there was the very like nice coffin, like very expensive. And then there were like more modest coffins that they could purchase. Like, couldn't afford this one. Check out this one. Can't afford a deluxe burial. A mass crafted with gold and silver, and you might like this white plaster and gold foil.
That's like now times.
Right? So there's like all these different like modifications that they would make.
That's a whole other topic, is why are funerals and burials so expensive? You know,
they're so expensive.
I think the companies, the funeral homes really play off of people's emotions, and you know, they're in a difficult place at that time, and maybe are taking advantage a little bit.
They found in this that it basically was like a mummification workshop So it had an industrial strength incense burner, a drainage channel to funnel blood, and natural ventilation systems. So like it was made specifically for doing this work with cadavers. They were able to piece together pottery that showed like inscriptions and labels about the difference. Like they were labeled with the type of substances that they had in it. So like with an embalming procedure. So it was like a modern day funeral home just back then.
But with mummification.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think, you know, I mean, that makes sense to have these different price points. Like, oh, do you want your guts in this really nice container or like kind of the shitty one?
Do you want
how much did you love them? How much do you want them to make it to the afterlife?
How much can you afford? Which is so today, too.
Exactly.
Like, you can't even take remains out in your own, like, what, vesicle. You have to pay for something. It can't be a coffee can like all the shows laugh about.
And you can't just bury people anywhere either, apparently.
Oh yeah, you can actually get in a lot of trouble for that.
Apparently it's illegal.
Apparently it's illegal. Don't bury bodies in your yard. It's illegal. Don't embalm your family members. Well, until next time.
Wait, do you want to go to my basement?
Oh, yeah, please do.
Okay.
Okay, she's going to run right back.
You have to entertain the folks.
Okay, I'm going to try to get a vote from the folks. Okay, title names for this podcast. I wrote two down. Suede hamster couches or super soaker. And if you were listening earlier on, you know what super soaker refers to, which I believe was us talking about what pads for women should actually be called. If you have a better name, also feel free to share. I'll be waiting. Dr. Loopy. Wait, Dr. Ann Loopy. Well, I'm Dr. Expert and Loopy. Loop. She prefers Loop. Okay. Other votes? Oh my gosh. Okay. She's back. That's all the voice you get. Okay.
Did you get an answer?
Some. Okay.
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 I'm going to put on my headphones.
So you can hear?
Okay. This is from sixth grade.
I'm just terrified. Go ahead.
We studied Egypt. Mm-hmm. And I was in the gifted program. And so it was a lot of like hands-on experiential shit. It's very 70s experimental. So this is our second attempt. Me and my partner, my study partner, Anita. Our first attempt at making a mummy and sarcophagus went very badly because we mummified a Barbie doll. And put it in the oven, and it melted.
Burn. That's
all over the place.
That's
it melted. It went very badly. So this is our second attempt, and so this is the sarcophagus that we made.
Can I hold it?
Yeah.
Wow! Like painted and everything. Wow! Can I open it?
Yeah.
Whoa! There's a dead person.
There's a little dead person in there.
Did they supply the little dead person?
I honestly have no memory.
Oh my gosh, it comes in half.
Where that person came from. I remember making, because we made that, that's like, that's fucking paper mache.
It has a butt.
That is legit. Like, that is.
It's not a Barbie. This is like a.
No,
like,
the first version was a Barbie.
Yeah, this one is like a legit crafted mummy inside.
We worked so hard to wrap that Barbie in
this
the mummification
so
cloth.
Good.
I think so. Sixth grade. That's paper mache.
And you should have gotten A. Did you get an A?
I don't remember.
This
probably.
Is so good.
I was a grade grubber, so.
My dad helped me with all of my art projects.
I have a plethora of interesting things in the basement.
Obviously. Coffins.
I'll take a photo and put this on our Instagram.
Mummies. Okay, cool. All
right, that's all I got.
Okay. Well, until next time, Dr. Loopy.
Don't get hit by a lightning ball.
or get sprayed by a super soaker.